this morning. Just want to thank you for your presence. I know that we didn't have Sunday school this morning. I don't know if I like that or not. I feel like I'm backwards this morning. I feel like we need to have Sunday school, but
if you'd rather have Sunday school than eat.
All right. Well, just want to thank you for your presence this morning. Y'all have a good week this week? Amen. I tell you what, I had a good week. And with everybody got discussing, my wife and Bill and all them back there discussing about, have we got enough plates? I said, well, how many is this? I told her, I says, just don't worry about the plates. I says, we'll have more people to come in with more plates than what we got. That's the way I like it. I says, I can just take and they can have my plate. And
you can have a plate.
Well,
we got some small plates that we have to use.
Yeah. Right. I'm optimistic.
If we don't give you a bowl, need
that's right.
We got plenty of bowls. You need a bowl of beans.
That's right. That's right. Well, this morning, if you will, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. The book of Revelation, chapter 19. I'm going to start reading up at verse 1. Has everybody got the page, scripture? All right. Revelation chapter 19 in verse 1. He says right here, says, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteousness true and righteous are his judgment. For he has judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servant at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Verse 7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he has saith unto me, write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou, do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Our Father, we want to thank you, Lord, this morning, Father, for the reading of thy word, and Father, that we do have the true word of God, Father, that we can just read and meditate upon it as it, during the week and at times, Father. Now, Father, we ask, Lord, now that you will bless the reading of thy word. And Father, that you may touch these lips of clay, Father, that the words may flow from my mouth, Father, from your lips that they will flow. And Father, that these ears may hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray, Father, for each and every one, Father, that they will hear from thee this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I could go two different ways here. I could say a wedding in the sky. But that's not where I'm going this morning. We're going to be talking about the bridegroom, and we're going to be talking about the bride. Now, we know that the bride is me and you. The bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, up in verse 9, it says, And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God, called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. One of these days we're going to be there with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to enter in there, but then he's going to call us all together, and he's going to lead us into that banquet table that's going to be set out that day. And I know that we had the 12 of us manner of fruit, but I think I'm going to show you, God's word says where we have other things that we're going to be eating that day also. And but you know, sometimes we wonder if we won't even have a supper, because we're going to be so engrossed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be so engrossed in him that nothing else is going to come to our mind. We're not going to be hungry. We're not going to be hungry to the body. We're not going to be hungry to the spirit. Why? Because we got the bread of life there, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the bread of life, and he gives us the manna from heaven. But this morning, I want to point out some things to you. It says the date. The date. When is this date going to take place? This date will take place, and it will be all the guests that will be there. Now this morning, you are a guest here at the church this morning. But why? Because we've come to celebrate the 50th year homecoming here. But not only are we celebrating that, but we're having old-fashioned homecoming. We're having where we can go up here after the service, and we can be feasted upon the meal that we're, everybody here has took out of their time this week and prepared. And some of you probably had thought that you was going to fix this and you was going to fix that, but probably you didn't quit there. You said, well, I don't know. I think I'm going to go fix this too. I'm going to fix that too. But I'll tell you what. We're going to go to the banquet table. How many ever have been to a something to where they have a banquet table? And have the cloth there spread. And have and they come around and they will serve you. They will come around and they will ask you, what would you want? We're going to be sitting at the banquet table. Supper time is coming. I asked Brother Bill if he knew that song. He said he knew of it. He didn't think he knew it enough to wake us sing it. But supper time is coming. Not only is supper time coming, but lunch is coming. Breakfast is coming. We need to realize that all of it together is coming. And what we are here this morning together, we are gathered here this morning for one reason and one reason only. To listen from God. To hear the message that comes from God's lips to our ears. But the date, any moment now in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He cometh when we least expect him. He cometh when we don't expect him, when we think that everything is going our way and we don't expect him to come. How many of you this week has expected the Lord Jesus Christ to come back any moment? I have. I do every day. I look for his appearing. In Titus, it tells us, well, we must look for that blessed hope and the great appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But until that time comes, we have a job to do. We have a duty to do as Christians. And yes, as Christians, it's a job. But we don't get no payday here for it. Only pay that we get, we're going to get there in heaven. And just think about this. He owns all the hills that we see. We can ride to the mountains. We can ride to Lynchburg. We can go to a west. And you can see the mountains. But on every mountain he owns. And he owns all the cattle that is on the mountains. He owns everything that exists. Today, he owns me and you today. And he wants the very best from me. He wants the very best from you. As far as what pay I get here to come and hit the church. That is not for me to go out here and go out here and visit. That's not for me to go out here and to call the people. I'm supposed to do that just like you're supposed to do that. We have to come together and realize that we must come together and do the same thing. But this date is coming. This date is going to be a reality one day. Yes, we're practicing day. We're practicing for the coming of the Lord. We're practicing so we can get to heaven. That we're going to know what it's all about. And I'm going to say something right here. Don't get me wrong. I know some of you, I know we all worship the Lord different. We all worship him a little different. But I believe when we all get to heaven, we're going to all shout. Why? Because we're going to be right there with him. We're going to be at his feet and we're going to shout, praise be to God. Praise be to God. Why? Because he allowed his son, Jesus Christ, to leave heaven and to take up the body of man. Any moment now, any moment, Revelation chapter 19, verse 5, 6, and 7, it says, "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready." Have you made yourself ready today? Have you made your preparation to meet him one day? And that day is any moment, is the date. I don't know the date. I don't know the time. Don't know the hour. I don't even know the split second. Even the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't know that. Only one that knows that is God the Father that's in heaven. And when God the Father, when he looks down over heaven and looks down upon earth and he sees where a man has took enough. Man has went as far as they can go. Then he's going to step out and he's going to say, "Son, I'm going to call your children home. Call your children home." You know something? He's not going to say, "Children, come on home." He's going to blow the trumpet of God. He's going to blow that trumpet. And as he blows that trumpet, our spiritual ears are going to be able to hear the trump of God. We're going to be able to hear the trump of God all the way from heaven. No one here wants to be left behind. But I'm afraid to say in so many churches today, there's going to be people left behind. There's going to be people that's going to be left behind. If the Lord happens to come back, and if he happens to blow that trumpet during a church service, you're talking about pandemonium is going to take place. It's going to take place. Because they're going to say, "Oh no, what has happened now? I mean, here it is. They done bombed the United States again. And when somebody here hasn't already heard about it. And now they're running for their life and everything." No. Pandemonium is taking place. Why? Because the trump of God sound. The trump of God. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 8. It says, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And to her she was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen." What color are we going to... What are we going to be wearing there? We're going to be wearing the gown that the Lord Jesus Christ has made for his bride. We're going to be covered with the righteousness of God. We're going to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, now wait a minute now, you're contradicting yourself. Says I've heard you say before that, you know, we need to serve the Lord." Yes, we need to serve the Lord. But how can we say that yes and how we're going to be just like the Lord when we get there. How are we going to be able to tell the difference between us and Him? You have to go back to the cross. You have to remember what took place at the cross. What took place at the cross? The crown of thorns was laid upon His head. Then He was stretched out on the cross. And they put a nail in His right hand and His left hand. In the palm right here of each hand. Then He crossed His feet. And then they drove a spike through both feet. You know, that right there was enough. That right there is enough for any individual to suffer and to bleed and to die. But why? Because we could not stand the pain. But see, with all that, with the bleeding that was coming from His forehead, trickling down His face. And then, where the nail scars was there, and here, where it was trickling down from His arms, then His feet. The blood was coming down from His body and landing at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross is where the blood was at. Thank God for that. Thank God that He shed every drop of blood for me and you. But it didn't stop there. The Roman soldiers, they weren't satisfied, so they had to pierce His side. They pierced His side. Why did they pierce His side? For me and you. And that's how we're going to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to recognize Him for the scars that we as individuals have put on His body. Well, preacher, I didn't put those scars on His body. That was over 2,000 years ago. I didn't put those scars upon His body. But we did. Why? Because we was born of the first Adam. We was born into sin. But then come along the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. He's the one that bore our sins. And I'm going to be able to look at Him. And when I get there, not just me, when all of us get there, when we get there, when we're at His feet, we're going to look up and we're going to see the scars. When we're bowed to His feet, we're going to see the scars that's on His feet. When we look up again, we're going to see the scars that's in His side. We look up a little higher, we're going to see the scars that's on His hand. We look up a little harder. Look at Him face to face. We're going to see the scars where the crown of thorns left right on His forehead. But see, when I get there, when you get there, we're not going to have those scars. When I get there, I'm not going to have an artificial knee. When I get there, I'm not going to have no glasses. Well, right now, you're a blur to me. But see, when I get there, you're not going to be no blur. He's not going to be no blur to me. I'm going to be able to look on Him as who He is. Now, after we get there, then he's going to take us on down to the dining hall where the banquet table is set out. The banquet table has been covered in white linen. And he's going to tell each one of us. Sister Huff, Sister Taylor, Sister Combs, Sister Donna, Brother Bill, Sister Nancy, Sister Julia, Sister Shelby, Brother Stamps, Sister Kelly. If y'all saved, Brother Johnny, if you say, Brother and Sister, Brother Johnny, and I hopefully am praying for Brother JoJo and Sister Catherine and Brother Jimmy, that if we get there, we're going to be able to say, praise be to God. Hallelujah. And he's going to all call us down, and he's going to say, now this is your seat. Sit down here. He gonna pull a chair out for you. And you gonna be sitting in the chair, and he gonna scoot you back under the table. Each and every one of you. How long is that banquet table gonna be? I have no idea. How many people's gonna be there? I have no idea. One thing I do know, I'm gonna be there. I'm going to be there. So if I'm the only one that he came to earth and bled and died for, then I'm going to be there. And he's going to have the banquet table set there for me. But see, I'm not supposed to be just here just to say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for allowing God to write down my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then me come to church and sit down. Or me go to work, go to shopping. Don't never invite nobody to church. Don't never pray for nobody. Don't never read the Word of God. Uh-uh. No, he wants me to do that. Why? That's the way we grow. That's the way I can grow. That's the way that you can grow if we do something for God. And each and everything that we do for God, and we know it's for God, and we must give Him the praise, the glory, and the honor for it, that one day He's going to say, enter in, thy good and faithful servant. You've run the race. Now come on in. Hallelujah. Trying to hurry up. For the marriage supper, there must be an invitation. The invitation and the spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is a thirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The water of life freely. If we go and if we go out here and drink the water, or we can go back there and back there and get us a cup of water, one tomorrow or this afternoon, we will thirst again. We will thirst again. But if you ever have the water from heaven, if the Lord Jesus Christ ever gives you a drink of His water, you'll never thirst again for the righteousness that He has. Why? Because He is the bread of life. He's the bread of life, and he's the water that will quench our thirst. Quench our thirst for what? For his service. Now I want to give you the menu, and I'm going to go through this. I got about 6 minutes. Here in Psalms chapter 78 in verse 24, it says this. Psalms 78 and verse 24. And it's talking about heaven. And it's giving out our menu here. A portion of his menu right here. But it says, and had rained down manna upon them to eat. And had given them of the corn of heaven. John chapter 6, verse 32. It says this. John 6, 32. Then Jesus saith unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world, unto the people of the world. The bread of life. We've also had the corn, the starch. We also had the bread. Now, in the last couple, 2 or 3 weeks, I've been eating a whole lot of bread here, look like here lately. But that one time, I won't eat no bread. They won't fix it any. I told them not to fix it because I didn't want it. I didn't want the bread. But it may be that God's given me prepared for heaven. I don't know. I mean, I love corn. I love old country corn. And I really love bread too, especially, you know, homemade biscuits. Them little hoe cakes. I love them. We have the salad, which was the corn from heaven. We have the bread, the true bread from heaven. The imperishable meat, 627. Labor not for the meat which plenteth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Sealed. What do we do when we go to the store and we buy a hamburger? Or beef roast. Or some of y'all, well, y'all will buy steaks, but I will buy this ground chuck or something like that, or what I can eat. But what do? You're going to end up having too much for that particular meal, right? So what are you going to do with the rest of it? You're going to save it for another time. Maybe next week, it may be next month when you eat it, but what you gonna do? You're gonna end up putting it in a Ziploc bag. Thank God for the Ziploc bags. When you put it on now, all the way to the end, just about, and then you take and get all the eye out, zip it all the way. It's sealed. 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 I've been sealed until the day of redemption. I've been sealed for that homecoming that's going to be there in heaven, hallelujah, at the supper time. And Mark chapter 14 in verse 25. Verily I say unto you, I drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drank it new in the kingdom of God. We should not go out here and drank the fruit of the vine. Other words, the wine that has been fermented. Yes, it's been fermented. We're not supposed to partake of it. And I've had people to tell me, say, well, I know what the Bible says and everything about that. And we should not partake of it. Says, but don't you think it's a little contradiction there? Since you can go another place in the Bible, and it said that in the book of John, it said, that Jesus turned water into wine. Well, if you can take that water, and if you can go back and you can turn it into wine, which ain't nothing but just grapefruit juice is all it is. It hasn't been fermented. Doesn't have no alcohol base to it or nothing. But I tell you what, if you can go back out, and if anybody can go back out and take the water that comes out of that fountain back out, and as it drips down in that cup, if you can turn that into grape, strawberry, orange juice, if you can turn it into something else, then what is there? That I personally will come to you and apologize. But I know I won't have to come to you and apologize. You know why? Because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It never did happen before. After that, only Jesus Christ could take the water and turn it into wine. But he was talking about the fruit of the vine. Now, we're going back to chapter 78, the book of Psalms, chapter 78. And maybe y'all may know where I'm going with this. I love desserts. I love all kind of desserts. But this is going to be a dessert thou in heaven. Said, man did eat angel food. He sent them meat to be full. Angel food. You know what that reminds me of? It's an angel food cake. I like angel food cake. Who don't? Hey, it's a whole lot of things that we may not like here. But I believe within times past, we will eat it. But one of these days. But just think about it. And I'm going to close with this. Just think about this. After we are dismissed from the banquet table, the supper table. From that forward, from that day forward, we will be eating the 12 manner of fruit. There's 12 different fruits that we're going to eat from. And we're not going to get hungry like we do down here. I'm not going to have the appetite like I got down here. But one thing about it, I know that I'm going to be fed when I get to heaven. Going to the supper table, supper time is coming. Supper time is coming. I don't know if it's going to be in the morning, midday, night, or middle of the night. But somewhere on this great big mass of a globe that he created, right at this very moment, somewhere they're having breakfast right now. They're having their first meal of the day. We don't know where it's at, but somewhere in the world. Everyone stand, all heads bowed, and all eyes closed. I'm going to ask Brother Bill if he'd just come and just play. Just have music. We're not going to have no singing. We're going to have music to one stanza, and then we're going to all go up out.